Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is your boy. I am back and more excited than ever to be with you to discuss our Michigan State Spartans. So, full apologies. Gotta get that out right now for being absent for the past week. Yes, I did record a podcast, but I was not able to get it edited and up to you in a timely fashion. If you do want to hear that podcast from last week, I will have it up on the site just a little bit later. So again, I send my apologies to you. Hot water heater busted and we had a flood in the house. Crazy busy work, family week, and couldn't get it done. So I'll do better next time, but let's go ahead and hop right in. So on today's show, we're going to take a look back at the week that was on that thrilling victory from our Michigan State Spartans. Secondly, we're going to take a look into what I think is why I think this game is important. And lastly, I want to share with you some things that I think you should watch for in this game if we want to walk away from it feeling satisfied, feeling good, just like we did last week. So let's go ahead and get this thing cracking. So the week that was, Michigan State, Western Michigan, we got it popping. We got it going. We looked great last week. Last week was all about the offense. Offense, 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 offense. We put up 51 points. We walked away from that game feeling great. There are so many things that we could talk about there. I'm not going to belabor on too much of it, but three words that we can definitely say about this team: it was fast, it was decisive, and it was explosive. We had a huge coming out party for Eli Collins, ran for 192 yards on 17 carries. We all saw something that first game. Now, we didn't know what we were seeing completely, but we knew that we were seeing a running back who had more explosion vision than Hayward and Jefferson. So we knew that there was something there, but we didn't know it was 192 yards worth of something. Another thing that popped off at the screen was Daryl Stewart. 10 catches, 185 yards. That's a huge game for him. Daryl Stewart is starting to assert himself on the playing field as the leader of that group. Now, coming into the season, I would have said it would have been Cody White. That's what we all would have expected. But Daryl Stewart is seeming to have a little more hunger, a little more drive at that position. He's taken over as the on-field leader, as the playmaker. There was one play that really stood out to me, and it was the grab where he had to fully extend up in the air for a high ball that was thrown by Lewerke and come down with it and made some moves. One of the things that I love about Daryl Stewart is that he is like a running back once he gets that football. He has a really low center of gravity, thick, wide legs, and he's very shifty. So I love his game. Next, another player that looked really good, again, was Brian Lewerke. Very decisive, threw for 314 yards, 3 TDs. That's what we want to see. So exciting. We got a chance to see this offense be explosive. We had a chance to see our number one Achilles heel, which is our offensive line. We got a chance to see them come together. We got a chance to see them look above average as a unit. That was great. Didn't see Jordan Reed getting the hoop ran on him every other play. We didn't see so much miscommunication with double teams and not getting off to the linebackers at the second level. We saw a lot of good things that came from that offensive line, so that was encouraging. And I love the play calling. That was great. It was up tempo. It was fast. And as I said, it was decisive, and it showed on the scoreboard. So 51 points. Now, we got to put all of that into perspective because this was Western Michigan. They are a a MAC team, an above average team. They do have some NFL talent on the offensive side of the ball. Not so sure really what that defense is, and that's why next week is really important, and we'll hop into that. So I'm giving out some MVPs. MVP for the offensive player of the game, no doubt, Eli Collins, without question. Daryl Stewart becoming a second and Brian Lewerke in third. I already talked about those guys. They performed. On the defensive side of the ball, Kenny Willekes. He made it happen. Two sacks. He is the anchor to our team. And so defense is going to be tested in a different way this week, and we'll get into that. But I'm excited to see what happens again next week. But we know our defense is really strong, has been for 365. So one last thing to note with regards to the offensive line is that they went up against a four-man front. And that's something that they're used to seeing playing against our defense. So there was some familiarity there. And it was good to see with familiarity there were results. And so this week when we face this three-man front, hopefully there's a little more familiarity having played Tulsa, who has a three-man front, and we can be more successful. So a couple more call-outs about what happened on the offensive side of the ball that are interesting. So, we know Elijah Collins had a big game. Looked great. Loved the way he played. Anthony Williams, we finally got a chance to take a look at Mr. Anthony Williams. We talked about Anthony Williams all preseason. Then we saw him riding around on a scooter and said, oh, no, what are we going to do with the running back position? Then God said, let there be Collins. So, Anthony Williams, he got on the field. Exciting. We got to see Ladarius Jefferson in a role that didn't look so bad for him. Ladarius, he can be our power back. He can be our back that can convert on fourth and one, fourth and two, third and two. I see something there, seeing some roles being defined, and it's exciting to see some of these pieces start to fit. Also excited to see Hayward as a utility player. And this is where his size can really come into play. So for those who follow Michigan State Spartans really closely, we all know that Hayward probably has the best hands on the team. He can catch. When the ball hits his hands, it's like glue. He comes down with the ball. Being able to move him around the field, whether it's in the slot, whether it's in the backfield, H-back, you name it, having him in that role really is going to make this offense that much more dangerous and unpredictable. We haven't had a player like him, so we knew we needed him on the field. But now that we can adjust where he's at, I'd love to see what Brad Salem and his staff put together and utilizing the God-given gifts that Hayward has, because it's not coming out of the backfield and utilizing his vision. It's putting him in spots where there are weaknesses in that defense. So excited about that. Another thing that I wanted to point out was at the wide receiver position. This may be the first year in a while we have not had a bailout receiver. We don't have a Tony Lippitt, an Aaron Burbridge, a Benny Fowler, a Felton Davis, a Charles Rogers. We don't have one of those guys this year. This will be a true receiving by committee situation. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen as we play tighter games in the future. Who's really going to show themselves to make big plays on third and long? I'll keep my eye on that. Last thing that I did want to say. Two more things that I did want to say is Dotson, hey, had a come out party, got a touchdown. I won't say come out party, but he had a touchdown. He looked good, looked like a real tight end, blocked well. And CJ Hayes, I would say CJ Hayes in that short sampling, he may be a slight upgrade for that Cam Chambers position. He may be an upgrade there. Something to keep an eye on. Like what I saw from the kid. So exciting. Let's hop into the next thing. And that is, why is this game important? So, number one reason why this game's important, because Coach D is going for 110 wins. Yeah, it's big week for Coach D. He's going to have a chance to pass the legendary Duffy Doherty. So really excited for Coach D to have that opportunity. Coach D has come into East Lansing and has changed the way that not only this program is looked at in the state, but across the nation. He's changed the way that the fan base is looked at themselves. And he looked Michigan in the eye and said, damn you, you're the damn little brother. And so he gave a fan base more of a backbone and a spine than it's ever had. So Coach D, hoping you get this 110 this weekend. Excited about celebrating that. So that's one reason why this game is important. These players have a lot to play for. Not only is this a revenge game, Coach D's going to break the record. Another reason why this game is important, second reason, would be because we get to find out more about the offense. As I mentioned earlier, we played against a four-man front, and that's something that we're familiar with in Western Michigan because that's what we practice against all fall camp, spring ball, and playing ourselves. But this week, we go back to a front. We go back to a defense that caused us some issues. And so we'll find out with this, is it assignment or is it skill? There's plenty of film on tape for our team to look at for our players to get better because we botched week one on the offensive line. So I'm really interested to see how things play out. And let me say this. I don't expect last week to happen again. That's not what I'm expecting. That was a hallmark week. We put up amazing numbers. Not expecting that, but is our line going to play above average football? That's another reason this week is really important. We're going to find out more about that play calling. We're going to see, was it a fluke? How do we call plays in third and long? Because we had like five plays scoring drives last week. What's that going to look like? Interested to see how Brad Salem, Coach Mark D'Antonio, how they handle that. And the third thing I want to see is more about our secondary. I am very interested. One thing I'll say about Western, they had speed. Their running back was elusive. He didn't get off too much. And those receivers, guys like Mixon. I can't think of the other receiver's name, but they got some yards here and there. But the thing that I go back to is that Josh Butler moment against Tulsa. And this freshman quarterback, he's going to put the ball in the air so long that he has time. He's going to lift it up. And are our defensive backs, not named Josiah Scott, going to be in position? Really interested to see as that camera tilts and that ball's in the air and we start to focus in on somebody out there on the island, are they going to make a play? So, got my eye open on that. With all that said, I expect a victory. You expect a victory. We all expect a victory in Spartan Stadium at 4 o'clock as Herm Edwards and the Sun Devils come in to take the field. One thing I got to say, man, before I talk about this game and what to watch for, big props to Herm. I always like Herm. Started off with, you play to win the game. You play to win the game. Love that moment with him. But at any rate, bad impersonation. Herm Edwards was laughed at when he took this position because he was a little older, not as like social media friendly, a couple things he didn't get in recruiting right away. But one thing Herm Edwards knows is football. He's been around football his whole life. He head coached in the NFL. This man knows X's and O's. So I'm glad to see he's having success. Looks like he has some talent on that team. Some of the players to keep an eye on. They have a freshman quarterback, Jaden Daniels, completing about 62% of his passes. Now, in saying that, one thing about that team, they really haven't played anybody. They played Sacramento State. They played Kent State. So pretty much nobody's only put up 19 points against Sacramento State. But we can't talk. We had that same thing happen against Tulsa with our offense. So Jaden Daniels is at the helm at the running back position. You have a preseason All-American, preseason All-Pac-12 player, Eno Benjamin, rushed for over 1,600 yards last year, looking strong. I like what I saw out of their other receiver, Brandon Ayuk. I think that's how you say it. He looked shifty and athletic. So in the return game and as a receiver, so he was pretty explosive. So a little bit more about Jaden Daniels. He's in a really interesting situation because Arizona State, I believe, is starting two or three freshmen on the offensive line. That's an issue facing our D-line. They're going to have some problems and challenges due to that. He hasn't thrown a pick yet this year either. So that could change this week with the way that our defenders are going to come after him. He's going to be under duress, and that may cause him to do something that he hasn't done. Thing that I do like about the kid, he's got some wheels. He is slight. So if we get our hands on him, it could be a very difficult night for him. He could quite possibly be sitting out next game. He's just a freshman. And another thing is that they've never really been down. So this team hasn't really had to face real adversity just yet. And I'm interested to see how battle-tested they'll be and when things aren't going so well. Now, they didn't go great against Sacramento State, because they didn't beat them by much, but it's a difference to having a lead and it being tight than being down 10 points. So interested to see what will happen there. On the defensive side of the ball, they got D-tackle DJ Davison, and they got Merlin Robertson, who's a preseason All-Pac-10 linebacker. So a couple folks to keep your eye on. Big losses last year, N'Keal Harry, playing with the Patriots this year. Secret weapon, losing Rennell Wren. If I was to mark a player of the game for Western Michigan last year, would have been Rennell Wren, with the way he kind of botched things up. That was when I lost all faith in Tyler Higbee, the way he knocked him off of the ball when in his first game at center. So both of those guys are gone. That game last year was kind of like the beginning or the overcast of what that season was going to be like. Really didn't know. It was a very foreshadowing of the season. And so our team has to be ready to come here and punch him in the mouth. So what do we want to watch for? Some things that I think we want to keep our eye on. O-line chemistry. Mentioned it earlier. We got to see what's happening across that front. Is Campbell going to follow up with another solid performance? I like what I saw out of Matt Carrick at the right guard position. Is he going to continue to follow up with that and have his nose in the playbook and make sure he's coming off of double teams and getting on the next level to those linebackers? Campbell, he had a really strong game against Western. Is that going to continue? Because in game one, there's a couple times he got depleted. With the receiver position, another thing that I want to watch for. I got four things. So this is number two. The receiver position, are we going to get separation? We're dealing with a different level of athlete in Arizona State, and I'm quite interested to see if Cody and Darryl are going to be able to get some separation, or are we going to be bringing in some of our other receivers that might have a little more juice to them? So that's something that I want to see. As I mentioned, we don't have a bailout receiver, so this will be done by committee. In the secondary, I want to see how we handle that ball being in the air. Are we going to give up passing yards? I don't know that we've really been tested because our defensive line is so strong. We've been able to get in the backfield and create a lot of chaos back there for QBs. I want to see if our secondary is going to hold up. Fourthly, I want to see how we handle a true QB who can scramble. I don't know how much film any of you have seen on the Sun Devils, but Jaden Daniels, he got some wheels to him. He can get around. So he may have to do. That may be what he has to do in order to keep them in the game and do some clock management, play some field position, things like that. How is our team going to handle that? this could be a foreshadowing moment to the OSU game. So just think about that. This is like a poor man's OSU in a way. You got somebody who can scramble. You've got some athletes out on the wing, and we'll see what happens. So that could be foreshadowing. I'm putting the pin in that, and we'll come back to it. So, folks, as I said, I wanted to take some time, take a look back at the week that was. Mark D'Antonio chewed them boys out, got them ready, got them together, and had us put up 51 points. It felt so good. It was a surreal out-of-body experience to see a receiver scampering for yards at chunks at a time. I was like outside of myself watching that game. I just didn't know what I was witnessing, seeing us run the ball. That's sad, but I hope we can see some of that again. We talked about why I think this week is really important for the Michigan State Spartans. We want Coach D to get those 100 wins. And we looked at four things to watch for in this game. The O-line, receiver separation, secondary play, and how we handle a scrambling QB. I think the spread on this game is around 14 points. I see us covering that. I think we should definitely put the big hurt down on the Sun Devils this weekend. So, folks, I'm ready. Can it be four right now? I'm ready to see this team go out here and kick some hind parts. So, without any further ado, I am signing out. Nothing but love to you and yours. Enjoy this game. And as always, go green and go white.